Welcome back to What Channel's Like.
Hey, Tone.
Hey.
Hey, Tone.
Hey.
It's Fistyle, who were in town not all that long ago, weren't they?
They were in town.
Didn't get to see, there was some sort of conflict. I really wanted to go to the show, but yeah. There was some other show, I have a
feeling. Group of Mothos.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day.
Fistyle presumably blew that.
That was a pick from Matt.
Yeah, I like that song.
Good mm-hmm. song.
Makes me happy.
Yeah.
It does.
A lot of songs make me happy.
All right, little segment right about now. We're doing this a couple weeks ago, and we were interrupted by a beautiful woman who brought us milkshakes.
We were.
So we only really got to one movie, didn't we?
We did.
Yeah, I think we really did that movie a good job, though.
We did.
Only really dealt with one movie, and of course everybody knows the summer movie season is just huge. You know, the
studios big time for movies.
Save their
and
big blockbusters.
I'm talking big time with a Y.
Yes.
T-Y-M-E.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys know I saw a dinosaur?
Oh, well, we'll talk
the
about
the movie
that.
Dinosaur.
Yeah,
should you want me to talk about it?
We'll talk.
We're
going
to start off with Dinosaur.
Okay.
The cool thing about Dinosaur,
okay, stab him.
Okay.
I got to finish the intro.
Oh, I'm sorry.
People are completely
disoriented.
I didn't
know.
Now.
I got excited. Where's this
information? Does this
shoot
have
mark.
Any connection with it?
Go.
Right. I want to shoot Mark. I refuse.
No.
Because he pushes the button.
Stab him again.
Ah.
All right.
It'll stop bleeding in a couple hours.
Yeah. See, if I tell him to stab Eric bites him.
Yeah.
And then he keeps stabbing him, and Eric keeps biting him,
you're
and then I'm left
stab.
Alone for a little bit.
Because I don't fight back.
You don't fight back.
Yeah. Do you have a tattoo?
Pent-up rage. It's not a tattoo. Somebody... I went to a little show tonight, and...
Oh, okay.
Admission to the... you know, after you pay your admission, they mark your hand with a marker, and I said, please put a small dot on me. Not like a huge line, and they thought I said, put a couple huge lines on me, so apparently they did that. That's all it is, really.
Little segment right about now, where we tell you about some of those movies, because there are a ton of them out there in the marketplace.
Lots of actors, lots of movies, lots of directors.
Yeah. Ticket prices more expensive than ever, but, you know, you want to get out to the movie theaters, because it's escape, it's a good time.
Air conditioned.
Yes, beautiful place. And we're going to tell you what theaters you should stumble into as you spend the entire day there and act like a hobo. What theater is the best possible theater to be in? When you're down at your local multiplex.
What series of images are going to cause you the greatest amount of entertainment?
Yes. The little segment called...
Movie Reviews.
Reviews. Second. First
catch
movie news. Which we know we're going to review is Dinosaur.
Dinosaur.
Which we're also...
You want me to do it now?
Yeah.
Kick it off, G.
All the smart people in the audience figured that one out.
Well, okay. The cool thing about Dinosaur, I thought, was they used real background scenery. It wasn't all CGI, like a lot of things.
Oh, cool.
I mean, there was some of it was generated by computers, but like a lot of the background was real, and I thought it added a really cool element to it.
An awesome element. One step further that Dinosaur took that I was really excited about. Real scenery, computer generated dinosaurs.
Well, see, actually, I don't know. Like half of them were computer generated, but they had. Little kids actually dressed up playing the other ones, which I thought was cute.
Pretty awesome.
That's nice.
I don't know.
But the real nice touch, if you ask me, is that they had the dinosaurs kill real people.
Yeah.
We have these kids, dinosaur suits, chomping into a real man, spraying blood everywhere.
Right.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's in fact you can't get with CGI. You know, the real appearance of, you know, flesh tearing off, the, you know, somebody yelling, ow, you know.
Really haven't conquered that area. So they figured, we're going to go all out. We have a big budget. You know? Disney's on our side. We're going to use real people. And so you really can't beat those vivid, vivid scenes of, you know, intestines just being shredded in half like Parmesan cheese.
Mm-hmm. And then shaken back out on spaghetti, which
on spaghetti. Another nice touch.
Really weird. Yeah. No, but I didn't know that about
you didn't
dinosaurs.
Know spaghetti was back then, but it was actually a staple of the dinosaurs.
Well, the thing, I thought it was cool how it was just like they did like a picture-in-picture thing. So, like, they had these little side notes. Like, you presume that these things are happening, like, maybe later, like, in the course of the movie. But just, like, they got this other footage of, you know, the action's going on. The little kids are killing other humans.
Mm-hmm.
The little dinosaur children, but then like they keep doing their thing, you know, they're having conversations, but then like there's this little screen in the bottom right hand corner that just shows like, you know, kind of like outtakes, what you don't
what
see
don't.
It just adds to the realism.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they utilize what
right.
they're these
you
people
have to see
that
the children actually did have to go to extensive therapy after the filming of the movie.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, for eating and killing human humans relentlessly.
I learned that dinosaurs didn't have strainers.
Didn't have strainers. So they made it hard for to eat the pasta.
Yeah, they'd use tennis rackets.
But, you know, prehistoric times were a lot harder than they are for us. Well, we had strainers.
Like, the prehistoric dinosaur children, I think they learned a lot from the Native American plains people from our country. You know, they utilize everything. They kill a person or a smaller dinosaur, and, you know, you've got immediately got food, shelter, entertainment.
You didn't know that
tools.
One stray best boy, you know, had that much use.
Right. Mm-hmm. Million and one uses.
Those dino babies.
Let me just say, though, there was one problem I had with Dinosaur, which is I think it showed too much influence from the last fall's movie, Fight Club, kind of going the extremity in that direction, in that you get the occasional subliminal frame spliced into the movie that I really thought I saw, and I went to the movie a couple times just to make sure I wasn't imagining, like, a subliminal frame of a naked dinosaur. And that was really kind of weird, like, to me.
Dino schlongs.
Did you guys see that? Maybe this last third of the movie, there was a frame of, like, a mammal.
Yeah.
And it was very disturbing.
I could just say that louder. I think the FCC is...
No.
It's like the ear up to your speaker.
I was...
No, don't worry about it.
I didn't really catch it. You can tell me later.
I don't want anyone to think about it.
I'm going down the list. There's only seven on the list.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's one.
Yeah, it doesn't...
What?
Dino? Yeah, okay.
I won't say it. So, anybody seen any other movies lately?
Okay, so are we wrapping up on Dinosaur?
Oh, I mean, I said all I need to
for
say
for hours, though. I've heard you go for hours on Dinosaur.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's just like, if I went for hours, you know, I'd cut into other people's shows. And
yeah.
That's true.
You know.
I'm just really, I guess overall, I was really impressed with the way that Dinosaur allowed these child actors to push their limitations.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Push their kind of, you know, realm of what they could do.
I heard this, I was on a news group. And Haley Joel Osment, the star of The Sixth Sense, Academy Award nominee, he was up for one of these roles, but he couldn't handle it. I mean, it's just like, it goes to show that there's other child actors out there that are more talented than Haley Joel Osment, which is, that's saying a lot.
It's staggering. A lot.
And I just can't wait to see what these kids are going to do next.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, Haley apparently can hack eating human flesh. She had a problem with it.
Actually, I think...
It's kind of a baby.
Also on the same news group, they had it's kind of a sequel to Dinosaur, but they're kind of the same children playing prehistoric mammals, like, I think it's called Cynodont.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just kind of like a, as far as I know, like a prehistoric rodent-type animal. But
awesome.
Well, I want to see that.
Yeah, I mean, I've read some of the production deals that are being made, because Dinosaur is such a huge success, and actually they're planning on tracing, you know, the movie series all the way up. You know, like, they're going to keep following evolution as it goes. Sure. So, I mean, they've got some interesting stuff later on. I think 2010, we're looking forward to seeing Guy Sitting on Couch,
mm-hmm.
which is, it's going to be real backgrounds of, like, a real couch and everything, just a CGI guy,
right.
Which is going to be pretty astonishing. And then these kids are going to bite him.
Yeah, because technology will be caught up at that point to where we can actually have a CGI guy.
So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But then, like, then there's the flip side, you know. What if you do a CGI guy and then have the kids dressed up as a couch?
Yeah.
I mean, I think...
It's true.
It's really, I mean, you can go either way with that one.
You can go on forever.
Mm-hmm.
Movies. What did we see?
Okay, another movie that just hit multiplexes this week and was gone in 60 seconds. The new Nicolas Cage starrer.
Yeah. I gotta tell you, I am not liking the new look for Nicolas Cage. Are you guys with me on this?
I think so. Yeah, I'm with you.
I don't think it works for him. I don't think his insisting on wearing a clown nose in every feature film that he does is really making poignant statement.
I heard that's all like his, you know, it's in his like contract. He had like a 7-film deal, and that was one of the.
I mean, it's stars.
I tell you, they get on the soapboxes.
It's quirky. It's in, you know, it's distinctive. But
they insist on something. You know, the little idiosyncrasies.
Well, it's very weird about, for me, the appearance Nicolas Cage chose to take in this movie is that, you know, he's got that long blonde hair now, and he's got those big, you know, like big, you know, thick pouty lips that, you know, very weird, very, very different from the, you know, he's got breasts now, and that was very confusing.
Breasts, and it kind of, you know, I think he still has his hands and feet, but they kind of, like, surgically implanted, like, wheels, So he just rocks back and forth, like bends his at the torso to like propel himself around.
Right, and big Patty Lips blonde hair, actually, in the stunning move that shocked even his own PR people, just married Billy Bob Thornton. And mind blowing, you know, who would have thought?
Yeah, well, did you see them kissing at the Academy Awards?
I was like, Nick Cage.
Yeah, that was a shock. I mean, again, quirky, distinctive. You know, you weren't necessarily expecting it, but that's, you know, that's not necessarily the best thing either. Yeah. Sometimes
apparently
the conventional
Nick,
choices
Nick
are the part.
And Billy Bob are soulmates.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's understandable.
You gotta go where your heart leads you.
I also think that Angelina Jolie losing her hair.
Maybe everyone liked the lips so much, but now, you know, now very flat.
Yeah, maybe you know, maybe you've been phoning in the last couple performances she's been doing. Have you seen Snake Eyes? Like, she's really just somewhere else phoning that movie in. You know, hasn't really been funny since she started Raising Arizona, if you ask me.
Yeah,
I could follow you down that road.
Stunning performance in Leaving Las Vegas, though. She had a really steamy sex scene with Elizabeth Shue.
Yeah.
Everyone very excited about that.
Yeah. Who else was in Gone in 60 Seconds? I feel like Giovanni Ribisi should be in that movie. Is he?
He's
in that movie. Again, just, you know, like, I don't know what it is about this this movie and people mutilating themselves, but he's got wheels now, and Giovanni Ribisi has a steering wheel.
Yeah,
and I mean, I thought he was a very good performer. He didn't need a steering wheel.
Didn't need a steering wheel.
I mean, I don't know if that's some sort of comment, you know, like, audience, you were steering me. I'm, you know, being shaped by your demand, you mercantile public, or, you know, if he's trying to look like a car.
Interesting thing. Another interesting choice. I don't know. I'm kind of cold towards it. Robert Duvall's in the movie. Decided to do the movie without his talent. A very interesting choice for an actor. Decided, I'm going to leave my talent out of this one and perform in it, which is really a really ballsy step for an actor of his kind of credibility to take nowadays.
It's quirky and distinctive. I'll give you that.
Because, like, I don't know, he just doesn't really even use the screen. He barks out nonsense words a lot.
He barks out nonsense. And the director was, you know, Bruckheimer.
Bruckheimer.
Trying to work around that, you know. Actually spent hours and hours filming, you know, just to find something usable, but wanted to go. Well, to just go with it.
I'll tell you what, like, in the film's climax, when Duvall turns to the camera and strains, like, the tendons on his neck and reaches up with his hands and then clenches his fist and says, bleak blop. It's really, I mean, you know, it's a lot of people might, well, you know.
It's gems like that where you're like, it's so raw.
Yeah, it's
and spur of the moment. It's in the moment.
Yeah, you don't understand why it appeals to you or why it brings out
but
these emotions.
Blop
and you, but
was exactly
it,
what he had to say.
But it does. Exactly what he had to say and exactly what we wanted to hear him to say and what we've been longing for
it's
ourselves
new.
To say.
It's quirky and distinctive.
The whole hour and a half he spends peeing in the corner could have gone either way.
Yeah.
Could have chopped that down to maybe one.
I don't know. I thought it was funny because they put subtitles for the pee sounds. So it's just, you know, splash, fizzle.
Right.
Fizzle,
right.
Splash, and then pause.
And they had that track going.
Push, start up again.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought it was funny for about 10 minutes, but.
Sure. But you gotta commend that kind of ballsy move in such a summer blockbuster to take that kind of radical stance towards the production of it. Pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So, Gone in 60 Seconds. You know, they're not bad. Not bad. A lot of daring moves. Maybe they worked. Maybe they didn't. But the fact that daring moves were taken is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got a lot of interesting elements. I don't know if it adds up, but you know, it's interesting. Finally, some car chases.
Finally.
Right. I mean, the public's been asking. Because they happen all the time in real life, but, like, why doesn't that translate to movies? Well, it could if you would just be willing to try it.
Yeah, I mean, the public has asked very, very nicely, and I think that's, you know, the public is finally being rewarded. You know,
seriously.
Right? The public said please.
With all the intense car chases that we see every day, can we please get a slice of real life, a slice of something the real everyday person can relate to, and have that be in our movies.
And I think it's great how the car chases in Gone in 60 Seconds. Everyone does stop at the four-way stops.
They do.
You know, and they wait their turn. And then they start chasing.
If you don't, I mean, that's against the law.
Yeah.
And after six of those, we actually had another take on the car chase where we just had a mob of normal people chasing after cars.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, they're never going to catch a car.
Never going to catch a car.
That's going faster than like 10 miles an hour.
But it's quirky. But
an interesting reversal of the metaphor, if you will. I don't know both of you guys.
Well, I mean, you think they would have learned from, like, you know, back in the 20s, before, like, the... before people, like, ate in movies. They were really worried about how it was going to go over. Mm-hmm. But then, like, you know, that one amazing movie, Eaten in Egypt.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, besides the breathtaking scenery, I mean, they were just... You know, the movie was about eating, and it was a smash.
People were mm-hmm. like, oh, my God.
Over 1,000 people saw that movie when it came out.
Career Fatty Arbuckle was born.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I think this movie's visionary. In incorporating the car chases. What's next, though, really? What's next? Okay, something that happens in real life.
Giant dinosaurs. Finally, maybe they'll make a movie about giant dinosaurs, you know, ruling the world.
Yeah, but where it was, like, it was real-looking places, you know?
Right.
That would be good.
Like a city or a suburb.
Or just, you know, filled with trees. That would be good. I saw Time Code. Did you guys, any of you guys see that?
I haven't seen it, but I heard something
about it. Here's what I did. I saw a 45-minute trailer for the movie.
Hmm.
For Time Code. Wow.
And what did you think of the trailer?
Well, I left, and then it turns out that I had just walked in about an hour and 15 minutes into the movie. So I wasn't actually seeing a 45-minute trailer, but I was seeing the last 45 minutes of it. Thought it was a little weird, kind of dragged for a trailer, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Trailer's supposed to be wham, bam, kind of get your attention. But I thought they were developing a lot of the plot, you know, for a trailer, and it turns out it was an actual movie, so...
That's rough.
I'm going to rely on you a little bit here.
Well, you know, unfortunately, I'm, you know, I also kind of messed up as well. I went in and, you know, I was watching very intently, and I was, you know, I was very interested. Wasn't what I was expecting, because I'd read some of the promotions, the publicity, you know, and I kind of had an idea of what I was going to get from Time Code. And so I'm watching Time Code, and I realized with 15
minutes of it. Sucks.
Yeah.
But I had a mishap, actually. It wasn't really caused by me, but, I mean, a friend of mine, we went to go see The Virgin Suicides.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't actually intend on seeing that movie, but we were just like, oh, let's go, whatever's playing around this time, we'll see it. Get to the Beverly Cinemas, and it says on the board that Virgin Suicides is playing at 9:15. At this point, it was 9:18. We're like, ah, we'll cut our losses. You know, we missed a couple trailers, no big deal. We go in there and sit down, and the movie is obviously playing. And we're just like, okay, we're watching it. And then the credits roll. And so I've seen like the last about 15 minutes of The Virgin Suicide, and like I don't really feel gypped because I know that, you know, I knew it was going to happen anyway based on the title.
Mm-hmm.
But just I wish people would take more care in like in their advertising of movie times, because if it would have been a movie like The Sixth Sense or Primal Fear. When there's like a plot twist in the last part, you know, I would have been really angry.
We don't have a whole lot of activist groups who are out on that, you know, who are out on the campaigning on the movie time.
Yeah, and I don't really think the way to go about it, Matt, was to go out in the lobby and beat up children.
Well, what am I going to do? What would you have done, Matt? What would you have done?
I would have beat up the old people. Old people are closer to death.
That's a difference between you and me. I mean, I march to the beat of a different drummer.
Well, it's just kind of adding another worrisome chapter to the whole, you know, imitative violence thing when you put on a dinosaur suit and started biting people in the lobby.
Yeah.
Well, that was... They actually paid me to do that as a promotion, but...
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Make good money off that?
All right. I mean, well, they pay me more in popcorn and...
You get to put down biter on your applications to jobs, though.
Yeah.
That would work.
So, I mean...
Biter/student.
Oh. It's a growing field. I mean, a lot of people don't really recognize that, but...
Virgin Suicides, did you see that, Matt?
Saw it. I didn't realize it was animated.
Mm-hmm.
Took me by surprise. Kind of had this whole Roger Rabbit feel to it.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
It was a little bit too much for me. A little too much, you know, kind of overload. I just, you know, they kept, Purdy. It was just, you know, a whole lot of Purdy, you know, and not a whole lot of pretty, just Purdy. And I couldn't really handle that much Purdy in one movie.
It's a lot of Purdy. Being attracted to that much animated Purdy also.
Yeah, it raises questions in your mind. And
I was really irritated, just another crusade against theater owners, but I was really irritated at the theater owners for letting me see the title to the movie, which really kind of blew the end for me.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they should really be taking a lot of steps to protect the times, you know, get the correct times up there, and not letting people see the titles.
Right, just qualified as like a good or bad movie. Yeah, so yeah. You know what you're getting into.
Yeah, I'd like to see the good one, please. Yeah. Thank you.
I was a little mad that while watching the movie, I was allowed to see the characters on the screen.
Yeah. Because, what they did.
Thank you. Great. Wow.
The biggest instance of that, I think, was in the movie Road Trip.
I was pretty irritated that I could see the picture during Road Trip. Yeah,
it was so terrible, and the images that they were projecting on the screen was like, okay, you know, Tom Green's undergoing this big testicular cancer thing, whatever, but he actually like took this testicular cancer and like put it in his mouth and like rolled it around with his tongue. Definitely not cool, and
too far perhaps.
Seriously, he went way too far on that one. I mean, I find him mildly irritating, but that was just. That was really, really too much.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Things they're trying to do with movies. Really successful in other ways, but I think there's just a giant strain, like a giant push, for directors and stuff like that to be pushing themselves so far to top one another. And I think that a lot of times they just push themselves right out of, you know, their own realm of capabilities.
Yeah, I think they need to step back and realize we're in it for the fun.
Where their boundaries are drawn, you know, and do what they do best instead of just doing something for the sake of having it be new and shocking and exciting.
But then at the same time, you know, what if you give that advice to a director, but, like, in the back of his mind, he wanted to bring car chases, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to limit it, but at the same time,
just
talk to us first, at least.
Yeah. Give us a call. You know we're here.
It's really a matter of just talking to us first in all circumstances when it comes to that kind of thing. For a small fee, you know, I mean...
A milkshake.
We can set you straight. You know, work out the quirks. We're quirk workers. I think it's fair to say. Licensed quirk workers.
Yes, we write that down in our space for employment. Quirk worker. And we get credit cards. They just send the credit cards straight off. Oh, we got a quirk worker here. All right.
Yeah. And a free t-shirt a lot of times.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's good.
Free t-shirt that I would only wear in, like, my own home. Yeah. Or
if somebody sprayed your wall with feces and you have to clean your wall, you know.
Right. Exactly. Like, I don't want to get into it. I've gotten burned on a lot of free t-shirts.
Gotten burned on a lot of feces, too.
Yeah.
Got burned by...
It was a crazy party.
It was crazy. I don't know who decided to bring the piping hot feces. Like I heard it. I heard it was
BYOPF.
I was actually surprised at how many people brought their own. Because usually, you know, you buy a little bit insurance, or you not in this case don't buy. You produce.
Keep it on stove.
But like, you know, people who don't. Oh, you know, I forgot. I didn't have time. But like this, like a lot of people, I mean, we had so much left over afterwards because the stuff that we had made, all that piping hot soft serve.
Well, it's a good thing you had the free t-shirts, though, you know, because that could have really been a bad situation if you had to wear a t-shirt you liked.
Yeah, well, we told them in the invitations, a lot of people were wearing their hyper colors and their, you know, Illinois basketball t-shirts. And, you know, they got mad at us, but like, look, we put in the invitation. We're not going to reimburse you. Here's some feces. That's all I can do.
No, it's perfectly justified.
So a whole palette of movies. Sliced, diced, flipped over, reviewed, spanked.
You know what to think now. You don't powdered, have to put that mental effort
rubbed in. Raw.
Look at the listings. This is how I feel about this movie. This is how I feel about this movie.
Ribbed for your
very
pleasure.
Very easy. Very simple.
Rolled over. Watered down.
Because so little is.
Boiled over. For your pleasure.
359-9338 is the phone number. We're not particularly interested in your phone call right now, but you can give it if you want, because we're going to go off to a song. And after the song, do some public service announcements, an especially exciting round of public service announcements. We've got a world premiere.
I'm going to improvise a public service announcement.
Yeah, it's going
to
be real. I mean, it's going to be about
a real... No, it's definitely real. A real issue.
But that's going to be pretty exciting. We've never done that before.
Still looking for milkshakes.
The studio is located at 113 North Market Street.
And that's where you want to bring them.
Yes. We're very thirsty. You know, it's fairly hot in here. I personally have a mild case of indigestion.
Thirsty down in our soul.
Yeah.
I think it's fair to say.
So,
and you could be the person.
Yeah. I mean, nothing helps prolong this, you know, my belief in this meaningless fiction of life, like a milkshake. Okay. So if you could get on that, 113 North Market Street is the place to be, near the Amtrak station, on the corner from
Jupiter's. Actually, as a motivating factor for milkshakes, I actually, would you guys care if I maybe composed a milkshake song during the break? And
I'll go for that, man.
And broadcast that.
Yeah.
You know, maybe inspire people through song.
Or maybe it will. That's what we need.
All right. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.